Know the truth.
Welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Monday, Memorial Day, May 28, 2018, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And a wild ride it is, to be sure. Just gets wilder and stranger all the time. I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all Road Warriors, those who would esteem ourselves to be. And as always, feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com for interesting and lively discussion. It's Memorial Day, and it's interesting. Memorial Day is a day we are told that we set aside to honor our fallen servicemen and women. And I touched on this last week a little bit as we headed into the weekend. I guest hosted the National Intel Report on Friday, and I talked about it a little bit more, but I think we'll talk about this some more today. And just, I guess, specifically some of the cognitive dissonance, and this might not be popular, it might not be well received. There's really just kind of the customary lip service being paid to this issue, and all of what I see in the coverage kind of reminds me of the article that I've mentioned a few times in recent months. Patrick Porter's 2015 article, Soldiers Fighting Alone, The Wars of the Market Security State. And the abstract of the article reads as follows: the rise of the Anglo-American market security state in the past few decades has created contradictions in how Britain and the United States conceive and conduct their armed conflicts abroad. Those who bear the brunt of the fighting, killing, and dying, the accentuated political distance on moral creation policy involved. And so, as Patrick Porter opened his article, that's the abstract. He opens his article with these words: there is a problem with how the United States and its allies exercise power. About that, I think we got stuff figured out for the moment. Technology is not cooperating. So the issue at hand is what I would perceive perceive to be the cognitive dissonance. We are there. You know, it's interesting to me. Today is a day, and the weekend, actually, Memorial Day weekend, we hear is the day that we set aside to honor our fallen servicemen and women. And officially, Wikipedia says Memorial Day or Decoration Day is a federal holiday in the United States for remembering the people who died while serving in the country's armed forces. The holiday, which is currently observed every year on the last Monday of May, is held this May 28th, Monday. The holiday was held on May 30th from 1868 to 1970, marks the unofficial start of the summer vacation season. And really, that's kind of typically what it represents, which is very strange. We're going to go celebrate and kick off the party season and vacation season on a day that we set aside to honor our fallen servicemen and women. That's kind of odd in itself. But there is a lack of reflection, I would say, and deep introspection. And it's strange. What I have observed this Memorial Day season is a sort of malaise that, again, to me speaks to Patrick Porter's article and the cognitive dissonance or the disconnect between the war and the mall. But it's not a war, because the last time Congress declared war was back in December of 1941. December 8, 1941 specifically was when Congress declared war as a result of the fomented bombing of Pearl Harbor. And so what has happened since then? We've had conflicts, we've had theaters, but some of this obviously will be review. I'm reminded of the clip that we play often of Patrick Claassen, how to build U.S.-Israeli coordination on preventing an Iranian nuclear breakout is what the talk was titled. But Patrick Claassen's remarks at the 75-minute mark were astonishing when he said, "I frankly think that crisis initiation is tough." And, you know, if we can't goad Iran into a provocation of some sort, then we should just stage some false flag event. And he went through a list of just about every major conflict the United States has been engaged in and discussed the what you might call false flag event that precipitated United States entry into conflict. And that is a horrifying reality. And you add on top of that, over the weekend, John in Tennessee sent me an article. It's an NPR article. And the headline is "A Wall of Poppies on the National Mall Honors Fallen Soldiers." These kinds of things, I think, speak to the conversation that we need to have, and we're not having. It's a fact of history that the Taliban had actually reduced the poppy harvest in Afghanistan before the United States entry into Afghanistan, and after United States troops invaded Afghanistan, for what today? You know, I asked the question on Friday, why are we still in Afghanistan? Isn't this a conversation we should be having? Why are American servicemen and women operating in Afghanistan? If we want to argue that Afghanistan had anything to do with anything remotely connected to anything that threatens, is an existential threat to American lives, then we have to go back and be honest about the fact that the CIA, through Operation Cyclone most recently, created the threat that we face. That's a fact that Hillary Clinton stated 10 years ago on the record with Greta Van Susteren on Fox. And that's one of those entries that has been mysteriously scrubbed. You can hardly find it now. You can find it. People have copied and recopied and recopied the soundbite. But, and we should probably play that too. So why are we in Afghanistan? And again, we have to be honest with ourselves and admit that it is a fact of history. When the United States military invaded Afghanistan, the poppy harvest increased between 3,000 and 4,000%. And now NPR's article, May 26th, Saturday, is titled "A Wall of Poppies on the National Mall Honors Fallen Soldiers." And so many things flood into my mind. Things like, the poppy fields in L. Frank Baum's Wizard of Oz, for example, and passages like Revelation chapter 18, talking about the pharmakia, Revelation chapter 18, and Mystery Babylon, the kings of the earth and the merchants of the earth are sad. Revelation 18:9, the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and lived sensuously with her, Mystery Babylon, will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning. Skipping ahead, and the merchants of the earth, these are the merchants of the earth. Notice that's a pejorative, actually, in the Bible, because the Christ follower, or the child of God, is supposed to be consider themselves a sojourner here on earth, not someone who's interested in creating a legacy that will endure throughout the ages like the folks in Genesis chapter 11 did. But Revelation chapter 18, verse 11, the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore, cargoes of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen, et cetera, et cetera. But skipping ahead to verse 23, the light of the lamp will not shine in you any longer, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride will not be heard in you any longer, for your merchants were the great men of the earth, because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. And the Greek root of sorcery is pharmakia, the same word that we get pharmaceuticals from. So you think of these kinds of things. So, you know, in simple terms, what I'm saying is this is not a new discussion. It's an age-old story that we seem to forget. We have an opioid crisis in this country, we're told, and yet the NPR headline, "A Wall of Poppies on the National Mall Honors Fallen Soldiers." The wall, to me, is mockery. The story is a broadcasting of the mockery. It's as if we are memorializing Henry Kissinger's alleged quote that he says he didn't say, but that military men are just dumb, stupid animals. I think it's shameful and disgraceful, quite frankly. A wall of poppies to honor fallen soldiers. To me, it's a mockery. And you know, people will say in plausible deniability fashion that, oh no, they're just beautiful. Well, there are a number of other flowers that we could have chosen, but thank the provocative iron stick around right back.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up, churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank, fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man, still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. The distance, he's going for speed. She's all alone, all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and biting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Yeah. All right, welcome back. So, I think we need to have a conversation about what is really happening. If lives are being lost and we have this cognitive dissonance, this malaise, this schizophrenia, really, shouldn't we be having a conversation? Shouldn't we be asking the question, why are we in Afghanistan in particular? What did Afghanistan have to do with anything? And, folks will say, well, they're folks like Osama bin Laden in the, the training camps, the terrorist training camps and Al-Qaeda, et cetera, et cetera. Well, sure. Okay, if we're going to have that conversation, then let's talk about the CIA's Operation Cyclone that created, that recruited Osama bin Laden away from King Abdulaziz School for Economics and Management. Son of a Saudi billionaire from Yemen, actually. And how and why was Osama bin Laden recruited as the leader of the Afghan Mujahideen? That was the CIA's operation. And again, you know, the clip of Hillary Clinton on the record, Fox's On the Record with Greta Van Susteren, we'll have to play that. Because Hillary Clinton admitted that 10 years ago. And as anyone knows who follows Hillary Clinton, she's no advocate of truth-telling. She is a cagey, snaky, lying, deceiving, conniving sort of person. So why would she say that? And she said it. You know, to be fair, we, the folks who are fighting today, we helped create in the fight against the Soviets. Actually, Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was there, you know, the front line of the creation of the Afghan Mujahideen, admitted in 1998 that first we created the Mujahideen, or the CIA did, and then the Soviets invaded in December. But America was told the opposite, and Brzezinski kind of snickered about that, really, sort of, and said, you know, he's on the record saying that when he heard the Soviets invaded Afghanistan back in 1979, he called Jimmy Carter to congratulate him and said, congratulations, we've given the Soviets their Vietnam War, drawn them into the Afghan trap. And so you take those kinds of sound bites and you have the same folks that were operating behind the scenes in those days, in the 70s, for example, Cheney and Rummy, Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld, who coming forward were part of the neocon contingent that created this post 9/11 nightmare now that we're almost 20 years into. Can you believe that? I am astonished. And so now we lose brave men and women for what? When we keep hearing, I mean, let's be honest, and again, this may sound crass or cynical or may not be well received, but I think we need to have an honest conversation. Zbigniew Brzezinski admitted nearly, what, 40 years ago now? That both sides of the conflict that were allegedly involved in were contrived and fomented. So why are lives being lost? And we can go back, obviously, through history. Again, Patrick Claussen's clip is apropos here. We'll probably play those. And so I'm thinking that Patrick Porter's article, Soldiers Fighting Alone, The Wars of the Market Security State, should be a wake-up call. It should shake us into reality and help us see the error of our ways. Because there is a disconnect at many levels. We're not fighting wars, the wars of the market security state. They're not wars. Well, at least not in the constitutionally orthodox sense. How is that possible? We hear, you know, the executive has the authority to defend, okay, but there's nothing defensive about what's been happening really ever. If we're going to have an honest discussion, nothing that has happened in the post 9/11 era has been defensive as far as the United States military is concerned. Not really. And that's the hard truth. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Friends feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, it's good getting used. Oh, you just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
Welcome back. My brother. As a sort of lead up to Memorial Day, I've tried to kind of cover a lot of these dots and make the story clear of what's really happening. You know, Brzezinski, for example, who to me was fashioned in the style of the Edward Mandel House sort of archetype, you know, the Philip Drew administrator operating from behind the scenes, actually, to run a fascist cabal. And here's an interesting side note, by the way. I'll just try to be kind of upfront and not soft pedal. Because, you know, I want to be gentle but and considerate, but at what point does that respect and consideration become a disservice? Because that's what we're encouraged to believe. You know, it's offensive. You see these kinds of psyops in these incidents, whatever happens or doesn't happen. Folks like Sheriff Scott Israel, for example, in the Parkland incident, you know, don't start asking the families questions because, you know, it's disrespectful to the families. And you hear garbage like that. Sandy Hook is a big one. Obviously, you know, the questions that have been asked, the scrutiny that's been brought to bear, the establishment will tell you is disrespectful. Well, to try to – and there is, I think, an element that does occur at times that is disrespectful. But to want to get to the bottom of things and understand what happened, we know that the government lies. We know that the government – the United States government, which I would consider a rogue political regime at this point, it is not in keeping with the Constitution, the orthodoxy of the Constitution. It's just not. The administrative branch that grew out as an outgrowth, and it really is an outgrowth, an offshoot of the executive. It's a quasi-executive branch, but really it is a branch unto itself, which is why it's referred to as the administrative fourth branch. And that's a problem because as folks like R.J. Pistrito have noted, in Pistrito's landmark article, Heritage article, November 20th, 2007, The Birth of the Administrative State, Where It Came From and What It Means for Limited Government, as he noted, this outgrowth basically usurps all three. He cited Gary Lawson in The Rise and Rise of the Administrative State, Gary Lawson's 1996 Harvard Law Review piece. And, you know, whenever I start talking about this, I usually start with Gary Lawson's piece, Gary Lawson's piece, which The Rise and Rise of the Administrative State published actually 1994, excuse me, Harvard Law Review. And this should end the discussion. The Harvard Law Review is not considered a conspiracy blog, but in 1994, in Gary Lawson's Harvard Law Review article, he wrote the opening words of his article, The Rise and Rise of the Administrative State. Think about that. His opening words were, the post-New Deal administrative state is unconstitutional. And its validation by the legal system amounts to nothing less than a bloodless constitutional revolution. That one sentence really should end the discussion. There should be no more article. And then folks will ask, well, do you have proof of that? Absolutely. You don't need anyone to tell you or give you proof. Just read the Constitution and then see what these administrative agencies are doing. Well, what do you mean? Well, back to R.J. Pistrito's Birth of the Administrative State, Where It Came From and What It Means for Limited Government. Pistrito opened his article, now more than 10 years old, with these words: for those who hold the Constitution of the United States in high regard and who are concerned about the fate of its principles in our contemporary practice of government, the modern state ought to receive significant attention. The reason for this is that the ideas that gave rise to what is today called the administrative state, quote unquote, are fundamentally at odds with those that gave rise to our Constitution. Fundamentally at odds is a, I think I would call it a monumental understatement. That's soft pedaling. The ideas that gave rise to what is today called the administrative state are fundamentally at odds with those that gave rise to our Constitution. This was the coup of the 20th century, the progressive era architects. And again, speaking of Hillary Clinton, there was the CNN YouTube debate 2007, when Hillary Clinton was asked, are you a liberal? And she went way beyond that. She said liberal, basically paraphrasing, you know, liberal, shoot, I am a progressive in the style of the early 20th century progressives. You mean the folks that were seeking to overthrow the Constitution? That kind of progressive is what Hillary Clinton esteems herself. You know, and to skip ahead, why is this a concern? People will say, I don't understand. It is Memorial Day today. You know, Patrick Claussen's clip comes to mind. Maybe we should just play that. Let me throw that in. Maybe I should just, instead of citing them, we'll just play the clips. So if we can do that. There's one. So let me just start by saying this, and maybe we can play the Patrick Claussen, the infamous traditional way America gets to war nonsense. So what am I getting at here? R.J. Pristrito's piece, The Birth of the Administrative State, Where It Came From and What It Means for Limited Government. As we reflect on Memorial Day, as we allegedly honor the fallen, and articles like NPR's A Wall of Poppies on the National Mall honors fallen soldiers, make it difficult for me not to be very cynical. Protecting poppy fields. I mean, it's disgusting. It's gut-wrenching to me. Well, you know, they're pretty flowers. There are lots of flowers that we could have chosen that I think would have been more appropriate and less offensive. So R.J. Pristrito mentions, you know, the for those who hold the Constitution in the United States, of the United States, in high regard and who are concerned about the fate of its principles, the orthodoxy of its principles in our contemporary practice of government, or so-called, the modern state ought to receive significant attention. And, you know, so as an aside, not to get too far off track, but I was going to say earlier, speaking of this 20th century progressive era usurpation of the Constitution and rewiring it together, centralizing power and control and authority in the administrative fourth branch, there is the discussion often. You know, if Jordan Peterson has done anything that is provocative and eye-opening, I think it is to point out that the so-called liberal, so-called progressive community are actually more closely aligned with the National Socialists of Nazi Germany than they think their counterparts on the so-called right are. So that's a provocative eye-opener for anyone who's paying attention. The Bernie Sanders of the country, for example, are more Nazi than their so-called conservative or so-called right-wing counterparts. That's provocative. But then we get drawn into these specious discussions. You know, again, not Eustace Mullins, but Ezra Pound's, you know, quote comes to mind. The technique of infamy is to invent two lies and get you arguing heatedly over which one is true. And the two lies are it's a fallacy of oversimplification. America is Nazi. America is fascist. The answer to both of those sort of rhetorical questions is yes. And so the point here, as a brief aside, is when the question is raised, you know, we talk about isms or whatever. And, you know, Larkin, Texas, his observations notwithstanding, because I'm not trying to oversimplify here. I think that everything Lark has said on these lines, everything that Nikki Rapana says is noteworthy and worthy of our critical observation. But just as a provocative side note to as a sort of wake-up call, hopefully, when we ask the question, is American fascist or Nazi, the answer is yes. And to boil it down, and again at the risk of oversimplifying, it comes down to this. In simplest terms, the right wing is fascist and the left wing is Nazi. You know, look at all of the weird behavior these kids that are allegedly affiliated with the Atomwaffen, for example, the Atomwaffen division. They don't know what they believe. They have overtly homosexual tendencies in a lot of cases. You know, the Pink Brigade seems to sort of follow, you know, there's a thread of that in everything they do. And they don't know what they believe. Are we, you know, do we read the Bible? Do we read the Quran? I think I'm a Muslim terrorist, you know, and as Islamo-fascist, but not really. That's a contradiction of terms. So they don't know what they believe, which sounds more like lefty-leaning folks, so-called. And then you have the fascist cabal. What do you mean? Well, the corporatist, you know, corporatism side represented in the so-called Republican or so-called right-wing, ultra-conservative right-wing contingent. You know, they are the Christo-fascists, if you want to use a term like that. The CNP crowd, basically. Never met a crusade they didn't like. You know, the John Bolton sort of crowd. Deeply connected, deeply burrowed into the bowels of government like a tick. And or a tapeworm sucking the nutrients out of the country, and always working, striving to wire private business and private corporate interests together with public corporate interests. And that's textbook fascism. So when the question arises, are we becoming more fascist or more Nazi? The answer is yes, unfortunately. Again, not to oversimplify, just as a provocative side note. But – and that's not a good thing. That's the point. That's not good. That means we're headed in the wrong direction. So James Madison at the Constitutional Convention said – you know, the father of the Constitution. What's the point here? The point is, if we're going to honor America's fallen servicemen and women, we should do it with integrity, with honor and integrity, meaning that we embrace the whole embarrassing, deeply disturbing and troubling truth of our history, an honest reflection of history. And I think we can't do that without these excerpts rattling around in our minds. Patrick Clausen, the way America the traditional way America gets to war. Wes Clark's intimation about America's foreign policy coup 10 years ago now. It's been 10 years since Wesley Clark said what he said at the Commonwealth Club October 3rd, 2007. It's been more than 10 years. Or Hillary Clinton talking about, to be fair, we created the enemy we're now fighting in the fight against the Soviets. Actually, we created it in as a pretext, according to Zbigniew Brzezinski. And, you know, Trevor Aronson telling us that after years of research, he's come to the conclusion the FBI is doing domestically what the CIA did abroad. It is better at creating terrorists than it is at catching them, Trevor Aronson told us back in 2015. And in accordance with what the CIA has been doing in destabilizing countries and, you know, speaking of Wes Clark, he talked about the 91 Shia uprising that we provoked and then got out of the way. Well, how's that been happening? The CIA has used the work of Gene Sharp, for example, most notably in its color revolutionary efforts, things like the Arab Spring, for example. We have to be honest about this. You know, who writes history was a question that James Perloff addressed in a talk that he gave 6 years ago now or so. And that's actually the title of the YouTube video, Who Writes History? American History by James Perloff. You know, the author of The Shadows of Power, The Council on Foreign Relations, and The American Decline. Speaking of the Edward Mandel House archetype, because officially, and James Perloff is one of the folks that validates the historical observation that Edward Mandel House is part of meetings in 1919 to create the RIIA, the Royal Institute for International Affairs, and the CFR. And that was 2 years before the Council on Foreign Relations was even a thing. You know, so don't we have to be honest about this history if we're going to honor our fallen, our brave fallen servicemen and women? I think we have to. We owe it to them, especially. We'll be right back.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Green.
Welcome back. My goodness. So Donald Trump is at Arlington, and you know, the headlines: Trump honors fallen at Arlington National Cemetery. Very, very. You know, it's the same old rhetoric. He's on the PR tour, and again, it's difficult not to be cynical, because if you understand what has really transpired over the course of history, the fact, as you know, again, as folks like James Perloff have pointed out, the fact of history is that the wars that we've allegedly fought, World War I and World War II most notably, were contrived to be kind. I mean, that's an understatement. And again, this is not a conspiratorial view per se. It's a historical fact that folks like Patrick Clausen echo. So we'll play some of those clips in the second hour. I don't need to keep validating that point. But something I will keep coming back to is, again, this administrative state that has – it is an engine of conquest, both at home and abroad, that has usurped the constitutional orthodoxy that I think – actually does speak to the protection of everyone, the ideals espoused in the Declaration of Independence, that all men are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, that among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. What is happening in the administrative branch has nothing to do with the consent of the governed. Think about the legislation that passes. Read the Federal Register anytime, any day, and see if anything speaks to those principles and ideals that I just mentioned from the Declaration of Independence. Nothing published in the Federal Register has anything to do with you or me, you or I, as far as our continued freedom and so forth is concerned. You know, looking at the Federal Register today, you know, and every day, I've mentioned this a few times, so the regular filings updated 8:45 a.m. on Friday, last Friday. Today is a federal holiday, obviously. So from Friday, 109 documents from 43 agencies, 90 notices, 10 proposed rules, 9 rules. Do you know how – I mean, the truth seeker of the far north on this network, Ralph Winterode, has pointed out ad infinitum that well, you know, speaking of the comment period, people don't know. When something is published in the Federal Register and there is a comment period, who's commenting? Who knows? Do you get notice of something, a proposed rule that is presumed to have the force and effect of law? They promulgate substantive rules of conduct proposed to have presumed to have the force and effect of law. Do you know about them? There's a public comment period. And if no one comments, well, you know, then we're just going to do it. Does that sound like it holds to the constitutional orthodoxy? I don't think so. Stick around. We'll be right back. Second hour coming up right after the short break.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle